I glanced at my companion, and his face had assumed such a disconsolate expression that it was all I could do to keep my countenance. The old crone drew out an evening paper and pointed at our advertisement.
"It's this has bought me, good gentleman," she said, dropping another curtsy, "a gold wedding ring in the Brixton Road. It belongs to my girl Sally, as was married only this time 12 months, which her husband is steward above a union boat, and what he'd say if he come home and found her without her ring is more than I can think of, he being short enough at the best of times, but more especially when he has the drink. If it please you, she went to the circus last night along with—"
"Is that her ring?" I asked.
"The Lord be thanked," cried the old woman. "Sally will be a glad woman this night. That's the ring."
"And what may your address be?" I inquired, taking up a pencil.
13 Duncan Street, Houndsditch. A weary way from here."
"The Brixton Road does not lie between any circus and Houndsditch," said Sherlock Holmes sharply. The old woman faced round and looked keenly at him from her little red-rimmed eyes.
"The gentleman asked me for my address," she said. "Sally lives in lodgings at 3 Mayfield Place, Peckham."
"And your name is?"
"My name is Sawyer. Hers is Dennis, which Tom Dennis married her. And a smart, clean lad, too, as long as he's at sea. And no steward in the company more thought of, but went on shore, what with the women and what with liquor shops."
"Here is your ring, Mrs. Sawyer," I interrupted, in obedience to a sign from my companion. "It clearly belongs to your daughter, and I am glad to be able to restore it to the rightful owner." With many mumbled blessings and protestations of gratitude, the old crone packed it away in her pocket and shuffled off down the stairs. Sherlock Holmes sprang to his feet the moment that she was gone, and rushed into his room. He returned in a few minutes, enveloped in an ulster and a cravat. "I'll follow her," he said hurriedly. "She must be an accomplice, and will lead me to him. Wait up for me." The hall door had hardly slammed behind our visitor before Holmes had descended the stair. Looking through the window, I could see her walking feebly along the other side, while her pursuer dogged her some little distance behind. "Either his whole theory is incorrect," I thought to myself, "or else he will be led now to the heart of the mystery." There was no need for him to ask me to wait up for him, for I felt that sleep was impossible until I heard the result of his adventure. It was close upon 9 when he set out. I had no idea how long he might be, but I sat stolidly puffing at my pipe and skipping over the pages of Henri Murger's Vie de Bohème. 10 o'clock passed, and I heard the footsteps of the maid as they pattered off to bed. 11, and the more stately tread of the landlady passed my door, bound for the same destination.